Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion time, where today we're going to be talking about fruit that lasts. Sometimes in this world, well, in this world, just in general, fruit does not last. It goes bad. It rots quickly. But Jesus said in John chapter 15 that if we would abide in him, we would remain in him, we would remain in his love, that our lives would produce fruit that lasts. And that's, I began to think about this. We had some cherries coming in on our cherry tree, and God began to remind me about this idea of fruit that lasts. So let's get started with our 30-day prayer challenge prayer and the process of praying the prayer and creating our plan for the day. If you're new here to us, our whole program, the Abundant Life Blueprint, started for me with Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse inspired me to create systems and training for every area of life to pass on to my children, hopefully grandchildren one day. And really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start, but God was faithful and he began to show up and began to teach me and to train me and to show me what to do. And it turned into a whole program with books and courses and all kinds of things. And everything we do, the most important thing I would want to get established in somebody's life is this 30-day prayer challenge process. This is the first place to start. It's about a 2-minute prayer that we pray every day. This is the prayer that I pray every day over myself and my family, all those connected to me, all of our partners. And it's a 2-minute prayer, mostly of scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we pray this prayer, and then we do the other half of prayer. Take a couple minutes to get still and to listen and to create a plan for the day with God. And then it's about, once we have our plan, executing, remaining in his love, trusting that he's with you, that he's anointed you, that he's equipping you and empowering you to do the things that you know to do and to execute them with peace and joy and confidence in him. But let's get started with the prayer here. If you want to find more training on this prayer, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com. And on the free tools and resources page, you'll find some additional training videos on this prayer that go a little bit deeper into the prayer, as well as a tracker that you can use to create your plan for the day with God and to evaluate, how am I doing? Is his peace and joy and confidence, is that flowing through me? Or does everything feel hard and stressful and heavy and these types of things? So let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening to this, and all of their families, their friends, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders, Lord. And Father, I just thank you for releasing us from the darkness, for transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I just thank you for your love and your goodness and all that you want to do in our lives, all that you are doing in our lives. And I just keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet, made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, we ask you to bless us. Bless our time here together today. Let us all come away with practical things that we can implement, along with feeling challenged and encouraged and inspired and enlightened all at the same time. We ask you to expand our borders and our territory, expand our capacity to receive your purpose and your grace and your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to the people right around us, but also people all over the world, Lord. We ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today, this day, what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And Lord, we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So let's take a second to do the other half of prayer. Okay, so let's look back first. Over the last 24 hours, did you execute the things that you need to do? How well did you execute? Did you have a list of things that maybe are piling up on the inside, maybe even been procrastinating on them? And let's start checking those things off. Because what I've learned is as things pile up on the inside, it blocks our clarity. It blocks our ability to hear from God as clearly because these things are starting to stack up on the inside. And so, first of all, are we doing those things? Then second of all, how is our level of peace and joy and confidence in God over the last 24 hours? And what I've learned is this. It's either yes or no. Either I was functioning in God's supernatural peace, his supernatural joy, confidence in him, or I wasn't. It's either yes or no. Either I had supernatural levels of peace and joy and excitement and confidence in him, or it was stressful. I was worried. I was not flowing in that. It's either yes or no. It's either overflowing or it's not. So how did you do over the last day? And this is not an area to get into condemnation over. This is just an area to say, all right, I was off track a little bit. And what I've learned is that if I was off track, the key is where I was focusing. And what I've learned is whenever I'm off track, get my mind back onto meditating on God's steadfast, unfailing love for me. The Bible talks about love is unfailing. Fix your mind back on that. Because I've learned for myself, as I'm going through the day, there will be all kinds of things that try to distract my mind, to get me into stress, to get me into worry, to get me into fear, to get me into all kinds of things that my mind is not supposed to be in. And what I've learned to do, and I'm still growing in this just like we all are, is to get my mind turned back. Hey, wait a minute. God's love for me is steadfast. It will never change. It is fixed. He is with me. He is for me. And love never fails. Love never fails. You've got God, the most powerful, most wise creator of the world, God that there is. He's with you. He's for you. He's there to help. And if you will get more present, we take communion today. Getting more present is one of the ways to increase this flow of peace and joy, because that's where God is. That's where the grace flows, is in the present moment. And so often when I'm getting into stress and worry and fear, it's over things that happened in the past or things that we think are going to happen in the future. If I will get more present with God, I will see increases in my peace and my joy and just doing the things that I know to do. Focus on, all right, what's on my list today? Executing those things, doing the things that I know need to get done, and focus on doing them with greater levels of presence and peace and joy because God's with you, helping you execute those things. I believe that's one of the biggest keys to having better days. Now, what do you know to do? Over the next 24 hours, what do you know needs to be done? And it might be little things that you think don't really make that much difference. Maybe you need to mow the lawn, you need to buy groceries. What are the things that you know to do? And sometimes we've got to clear those things out of our mind first to start getting into some of these things that truly last. I believe it's in the book of Psalms, and David talks about it. All of the days of David's life, he said, were ordained by God. God's already got a plan for your day. And I believe that when we start to get past some of these daily items that we know we need to do, yes, you need to do those. We need to keep doing those, being good stewards of the things that God's given to us. But there is some fruit that lasts. Whatever is on God's plan for your life will be something that truly lasts. Often we do things in life and you have to keep redoing them, or you didn't do it right and you got to redo it and you got to do it over. But whatever is truly on God's plan for your life and that he equips you and empowers you to do will be something that truly lasts. It will be fruit and good work that truly has a lasting benefit. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be spending my days doing a bunch of things that don't last. I want to be spending my days doing things that matter and doing things that are going to truly last. I believe if we'll seek God and we'll stay in love, we'll remain in his love, we'll see here, we're going to have some fruit in our lives that remains. So, all right, let's get started with our training today. So we have a cherry tree in our backyard and the cherries are starting to come in. Now, first of all, with the cherries, it seems like every year the trend has been, I'm not an expert on cherry trees, but every year the trend has been the cherries come in and they're only around for about a week, maybe 2 weeks. And then the cherries are gone all year long. They're dormant. And then all of a sudden they come in and they're there for a week or 2 weeks. So if you don't harvest them, you don't get them in time, you're not going to have any cherries. So that fruit does not last. I'm just thinking of reminded of I think it's the book of Revelation. It says that the tree of life, it produces crops 12 months a year. It's got fruit all the time. The fruit lasts, the fruit remains. The things that God does remains forever. I believe this fruit of this world is a reminder, this stuff is temporary. But then we pick, my daughter and I go out last week. We've got some ripe cherries and we've got a ton of cherries. I mean, talking thousands of cherries. There's no way we could ever get them all. And we pick a huge, basically bucket full. The biggest thing we could find, we had a big pot and we fill up this pot pretty full. And we go out and we pick all these cherries. I don't know how many it was, a lot of cherries. And we bring them in and we ate some of them, but then we got busy. And I forgot to, you think about fruit in the natural world, you got to process it fairly quickly or it's going to rot and it's going to go bad. We didn't process them. I got busy and I forgot about them. I meant to either put them in the freezer or we were going to make some jam out of it because the cherries are a little bit sour. We were going to make some jam or I was going to freeze it and I forgot. And it didn't take long, only about 2 days later, the cherries are starting to rot and they're looking kind of fuzzy looking. And I'm like, these are not edible anymore. All that work we spent, I don't know how much time out there picking these cherries, and they only come in for about a week in a year. And they rotted within about 2 days. And we didn't get them processed fast enough. And all of a sudden, God began to remind me of this verse in John chapter 15 about how if we abide in him, we stay in his love, we do the things that he's commanding us to do, that our lives would produce fruit that lasts, not fruit that rots 2 days later, but fruit that lasts. So let's take a look at this. This is John chapter 15. I believe this is the NIV Bible. And this is starting in the beginning of the chapter, John 15. There is so much in this passage of scripture. It says the vine and the branches. That's the subheading of John chapter 15. This is Jesus talking. This is in red. I'm the true vine, he says, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. So if we're in him, we'll see. If we remain in him, we remain in his love, our lives will bear fruit. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So probably about a month ago on our partner call on Zoom, we talked about this idea of pruning. This verse here, every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes. That word prune in the Greek language that this verse was written in, that word can mean prune, but it can also mean lift up. And we talked about how fruit is heavy. You have a lot of fruit on a branch. I'm just thinking, we bought a bag of oranges from the store the other day, and just, I don't know, 10 oranges weighed 8 pounds. 8 pounds of oranges and just 10 oranges. And an orange tree, I'm thinking of my grandpa's orange tree back in California. It might have hundreds of oranges on it, and the branches are just getting weighed down, and he would have to support them and lift them back up so that they would get sunlight and the tree branches would not break. Fruit can be heavy. Sometimes bearing fruit in our lives can feel heavy. And what I've learned is when the fruit starts getting a little heavy, what is the fruit? Fruit of the Spirit, peace, joy, love, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, faith. As our life starts producing this fruit, sometimes the fruit can get a little heavy. And what I've learned is that he will not only prune you, but he will also lift you up at the same time. One of our partners on the Zoom call said he learned a lesson from a horticulture specialist. He had a tree that the branches were sagging down and it was getting in everybody's way. They were trying to mow the grass and the branches are in the way. People were trying to walk underneath the tree and the branches were hanging down. And he was just getting ready to chop off these branches. And the horticulture specialist came by and said, no, there's a better way. And he pruned off just some of the smaller branches. And when he did that, the weight of the branch became less and the longer branches began to lift up. So we said that I believe it's both. What I've learned is often we're faced with opposing things in life. And what I've learned is usually the answer is both at the same time. God both prunes and lifts us up at the same time. He takes off the branches that are not needed. And when that happens, the weight gets less and we get lifted up. Imagine that feeling of just the heaviness maybe you feel in life, getting stripped away. Well, God will prune off those things that are not needed, and it will begin to lift you up in life. As we begin to plan our day and we do the things that last, we're not weighed down. We're not burdened by things that don't remain. We're not burdened by things that are going to rot 2 days later. And we focus on things that last. All of a sudden, our lives begin to elevate more. because we're focused on things that last rather than just repeating the same bad day over and over. So Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So the key to fruit is remaining in him. And Jesus talks about remaining in his love. That's where I said, all throughout the day, there will be these opportunities to get our mind onto things that we're stressed about, worried about, fearful about, whatever it may be. And we can redirect our mind back onto his love. Remain in his love, because when you're in his love, there's no fear. And when you're in his love, there's no fear, and faith begins to rise up in your heart, and it teaches you what to do. I believe it's Philippians 1:9 says that when our love abounds and grows more and more, it helps us to discern what's right and best in God's eyes. It helps us discern what to do so that our lives produce fruit that lasts, if we'll keep our eyes fixed on love. So Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit. So he is the key. Remaining in his love is the key to bearing much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he's like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, you can ask for whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. That's a pretty amazing promise. You can ask for whatever you want from God. And in our prayer challenge prayer, some of you guys have probably heard me teach on this before. You can ask for whatever you want. Well, in Esther chapter 8, verse 8, Esther was also told that same thing by the king. The Jewish people were about to be destroyed. And Esther petitions him to write a new law that would turn the tables and override the old law that was written that was going to destroy the Jewish people. And the king tells her an interesting thing. You write whatever you want and seal it in my name. Jesus says, if we remain in him, we can ask for whatever we want in his name. And what do we ask for? I thought about this for a while. If I could ask for anything, what's the most important thing to ask for? And here's what I've learned. Here's what I want. What I want today is to be doing what's right and best in God's eyes. Because I'm going to trust that if I'm doing that, I'm going to produce fruit that lasts. If I'm doing that, I'm where I'm supposed to be. That's where the grace is going to flow. If I'm doing that, God's going to take care of me. Here's what I want, God, today. And yes, there are other things you can ask for. But today, I want to remain in your love, and I want to be doing what's right and best in your eyes. I want my love to be growing and abounding. And so he says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you can ask for whatever you wish and it will be given to you. And this is for my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So when our lives produce fruit, it brings God glory. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. That's where I said, keep getting your mind fixed back. God's with me. He has steadfast love, and love never fails. Well, I'm worried about this thing that's going to happen. I'm worried about tomorrow. I'm worried about this. I'm thinking about the past. Get back in the present. God loves me. He's with me. Love and God never fail. It says, if you obey my commands, you'll remain in my love. So Jesus says, if you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. And just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. Okay, so that's that thing. If I'm doing what's right and best in God's eyes today, I'm remaining in his love. He says, I've told you this, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is not your joy. This is Jesus's joy would be in you, and your joy would be complete. And he says, here's my command. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I have learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. You could say even anointed you to go and bear fruit. He's equipped. He chose you, and he appointed and equipped and has empowered you to go and trust that you're going to bear much fruit. And it will be what? Fruit that lasts. And as you're producing fruit that lasts, look at here. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. And this is my command. Love each other. Pretty powerful stuff. If we will remain in his love, we'll follow his commands. And the most important thing, the command of love. That we will love each other. That's the most important command. And I believe as your, like I said, Philippians 1:9, as your love abounds more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, it teaches you to discern what's right and best. It teaches you what to do. We talked recently about how in the book of Psalms, it says they were meditating on God's unfailing love. And the meditation of their heart gave them understanding. And once you understand God is with you, his love is steadfast, that will never change, and his love never fails. Love always hopes, love always protects, love always trusts, love always assumes the best. Once you understand that you've got that, it leads to this secure place where the fear goes away and you begin to walk by faith at a higher level. So let's take communion over this. So every time we take communion, it is done with holy awe and reverence and delight for what God and Jesus have done. Think about this. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for us, that we can have eternal life, that we can be connected to him. He so loved us. And if he gave us Jesus, how will he not freely give us all things? It says even he gives us things to enjoy. So Heavenly Father, I thank you that for this bread and what it represents, and we bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Every time we take communion, it is, I believe, a table turner. It is a turning point in our lives to activate these promises. And I want this communion today, a reminder and an activation, says I'm going to walk in this. I'm going to remain in his love. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on his love for me. I'm going to get more present today. I'm going to keep my mind fixed on the things above. Keep my mind fixed on God is with me. He is for me. His steadfast love he will never take from me. And love never fails. I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on that. Because when I remain in that, and my heart is fixed and rooted and established in that, when my heart is established in that and immovable in that, it teaches me what to do. I'm going to let that love flow through me and equip and empower me to do the things that I know to do. God not only helps you, shows you what to do, he equips you and empowers you with the strength and the power to do it in his strength, not in yours. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for this cup and what it represents, and we bless it in Jesus' name. We thank you that after supper, at the Last Supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant." It's a reminder, we're going to be transitioning into a new way of living, this way of love. He says, his blood was poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. We thank you for this cup, Father, in Jesus' name. So hopefully you've got your plan for the day. You got a plan that you created with God. What are the things that you know to do today? And let's focus as you go about your day. Now we took communion. We received this from God. Now we got to execute. Execute trusting God is with you. He loves you. His love never fails. Get more present today. Execute those things that you know to do. Focus on loving the people around you. They wrong you, just let it slide off. Just let it go. That happened 10 seconds ago. That's in the past. Let's get in the present. Let's see them through the eyes of grace right now. Right now in this present moment, where all those wrongs are gone, all the worries about the future are gone, and we just get right here in the present moment with God, with our hearts and our minds fixed on his steadfast, unfailing love. And as you do that, here's what I believe is going to happen. Today, this day, he's going to help your life produce fruit that lasts. No more is it going to be doing all these things that have to be redone, doing things over and over again. Your life is going to begin to truly produce things that last. And that can only be done by remaining in his love, I believe. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, you know, I haven't talked about it a whole lot. I probably should do more. But in our partnership program, this Abundant Life Blueprint, we will walk you step by step through the whole thing. We start with a program called the Miracle Year, and we get you connected with God. We get you implementing this 30-day prayer challenge process, and then we get you creating a plan with God for the next year, and then we've got training over that whole next year to help you walk this thing out. We've got training for every area of life, for your spiritual growth, for your mind, and for your emotions, for your purpose, for your health, for your family, for your finances, order, time, community. And to be honest, this whole program is not something I could have ever dreamt of. It is so precise and so ordered. It's the way the pieces just stack one on top of another. It's not something that I could have ever come up with myself. And I've seen God's hand on it. It's been truly an amazing thing. But I hope to see you soon. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us, you can go to theabundantlifetrainingcenter.com.